we do. If you come to church and you start doing something and you don't know why you're doing it, it's religiosity. It becomes a religious ceremony. God is not looking for religious people. One time, the disciples of the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't you disciples observe the traditions of the elders?" You know, tradition, there's nothing wrong with tradition as long as it does not take place of scriptures. Say amen.
Amen.
So some of the disciples of the Pharisees came in and asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples obey the tradition of the elders?" Jesus said, "Because your tradition is pathetic. It annihilates the word of God." How? Jesus went on to say, "The Bible says, the Torah says, honor your father and your mother. But if somebody come to their parents and say, 'Mom, Dad, the money that I was planning to honor you with, I'm going to give it to the church. Your tradition says it's okay.'" And then Jesus said, "Hypocrites, with your traditions, you are invalidating the word of God." Now, Pastor John McCall, the founder, put this pamphlet together. And I'm working on this now. Why do we do the things that we do? You need to understand why you do so that it does not become a tradition. It's rather an act of worship. Say amen.
Amen.
Anytime that you're in a service and you're doing something and you don't know why you're doing it, but you do because everybody else do or is doing, it became right now a tradition, a religious ceremony. Today, I jump to the end where it says, "Why are music or musical instrument a part of the worship service?" In other words, you see this bunch of good-looking people sitting down here playing. Why do we have all these instruments? You know how many people can sit here if you just sing a cappella? Yes, I know. I can put 25 people here, 25 people there. If I squeeze, I can get 36 on each side. But yet, why do you have music? I mean, why do you have instruments? Brother preacher, can you start putting up there Psalms 150, verse 3 and 5? From the get-go, from the days of old, God always intended to have instruments in the worship time. And I want you to read it with me. "Praise Him with..." So it's normal that when we are worshiping, to have a trumpet playing. Because when these folks come up front to play, we are praising God. And the objective of the worship team in there is to bring you to that atmosphere where you're going to be praising God from the bottom of your heart. And one of the tools that we use to accomplish such is instruments. So what kind of instruments can go up there? One of them is trumpet. So if sometime down the street you see somebody with a trumpet up here playing, "Oh, what is this?" We're doing what the Bible says. Praise Him with trumpets. You should also praise Him with psaltery. What is a psaltery? It's something that looks like a triangle and has the strings, like it's a guitar type thing, but in a triangle shape and a bunch of strings, a psaltery. And then he goes on to say, "Praise Him with harp." So if I have a psaltery, I have a harp, and I have a trumpet, all three together in a worship, I'm biblical. And he goes on verse 4, saying, "Praise Him with timbrel." Or tambourines. This is why we have tambourines around here. And this is why we also dance in the church, as a form of praise and worship God. Now, today's church has gone so ballistic, so cuckoo, that there's going to be five or six people here imitating Michael Jackson on the front, dancing, and the rest is clapping hand. That's horse manure. It doesn't say here that five people should stand here on the front dancing, and the rest of us looking and clapping. When the joy of God hits our hearts, you may feel like jumping and praising God with dances. David is coming back from picking up the ark of the Lord that was in the house of Barzillai. But what happened? Well, the ark has been taken by the Philistine. And God wanted to humiliate the Philistine gods. They took the house of God and put it on the house of Dagon. Or you guys are going to call Dagon. Next morning, Dagon was facing the ark. His head was cut off and he was in position of worship. You low life, you're going to put yourself in the level of the living God. So they took Dagon from there, put his head back, paste it up with glue, and put him there again. Next day, here's the ark, here's Dagon. Next day, Dagon is in front of the ark, bowing down, head chopped off. And then plague is hitting the people in Gaza. Gaza, always on the left side. And then they took it to the other house of the other gods, and every seven provinces of Philistia were desolated with plagues. And then they said, take this thing out of here before we all get killed. And they took the cows, two cows that was still milking in their ignorance, but they took it, made a chariot, put the ark of the Lord on the top of it, and sent it out. And then they said, if it goes towards Israel, that's what we're supposed to have done. If not, it's just some nonsense. Well, as soon they loaded the ark, the cows went straight towards Israel. The people went to welcome the ark. And on the way, as the cow is crying and pulling because they had a lot of milk and they couldn't feed their babies, the cow is crying, it went over a stone and looks like the ark was about to fall. And one of the poor priests, Smarty Pants, jumped to catch the ark. He got killed on the spot. Everybody gets scared and they left the ark by the house of Barzillai. Within 3 months that Barzillai had the ark, the man became extremely rich. When God's presence is around, you're going to be rich. When God's presence is around, you're going to live comfortably. Now, this morning, Jesus gave me and Marcia a new lease in life. Jesus gave us this morning a new lease in life. Meaning, our lives will be extended. And that's another story for another day. Barzillai got so rich. Sorry, Lord. Barzillai got so rich that people came and say, David, King David, Barzillai has the ark, and man, this guy is becoming filthy rich. So they made the preparation, and they went to pick up the ark to bring to Jerusalem. And every 100 yards, they would offer sacrifice to the Lord. And the Bible said that David was so joyous that he was dancing in the presence of God, praising the Lord. So it says in here, how come it go to 5? Can you go back on 4, brother? This computer is getting smart on me now. Praise him with tremble and dance. Sister Valeria is going to teach some of you how to dance. Jewish dance. So those of you who want to learn how to dance Jewish dance, Sister Valeria, stand up, please. This young lady here will teach you how to dance Jewish dance. And in the very near future, we're going to be playing Jewish song, and then we're going to dance Jewish dance. So you now want to dance in the church? It's not going to be Michael Jackson's dance. It's going to be Jewish dance. When Israel was crossing over the desert, during the night when they would get bored, Miriam would take the tremble, and somebody else would get a harp, somebody else had a guitar, Somebody else had a psaltery, and they would start singing songs of Romery. And the women and the kids would go walking in the desert, and the cloud became a pillar of fire. It kept them warming, it lit the way, and they could dance and sing praises to the Lord while they were in the desert. Amen. So it's a legitimate way to praise God. Now, going to the disco down the street is a satanic way of doing it. Why? That's another story for another day. Now he says, praise him with stringed instruments and... This is why we have the soaks praying up there. Now, I want to put it on two translations so you can get a clue what we're talking. Brother Harry, let's start with the NLT. Let's start all over again. 150 verse 3 on the NLT. I gave you the King James because the King James buffas are always complaining about it. Praise him with a blast of ram's horn, which is a trumpet. Praise him with a lyre and a harp. Let's go. 4. Praise him with tambourine and dance, like Miriam did. And praise him with strings and flute. Strings. What do you mean strings? Guitar. Violin. Harp. Cello. Mandolin. The list goes beyond. Now let's get the real American English. Backslide the translation, please. Let's go back to 150 verse 3. Watch this. Praise him with a blast on the trumpet. Praise him by strumming of soft strings, which goes to violins and everything that is soft. Cello, soft strings. Huh? Verse 4 says, praise him with castanets and dance. Isn't that great? And then verse 5. Praise him with cymbals, a big bass drum. Praise him with fiddles and mandolin. Why do we use worship, music, instruments in our worship? Because we are commanded to do so. Are we together? There's nothing anti-biblical in what we do. If I can't back it off by scripture, then we won't use it. Then somebody may say, well, this is all the Old Testament. The New Testament, don't use this. Ugh. Can you give me Revelation 14? Verse 2, I'm going to give you on both scripture, in both versions. For the Bafas, Revelation 14, 2. And I heard a voice from heaven. Well, that's heaven now we're talking about. As the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. It's also on the New Testament. Now, when you go to the backslide, the translation here, I heard a voice out of heaven, the sound like a cataract, like the crash of thunder. And then I heard music, harp music. Or instrument of strings. This is why we do it. And we love it. Now sometimes people don't use common sense and it's so loud that your ear is about to blow. This is when people are trying to get into fame too quick. But this is why we use instrument. Because it is on the book. I could use another 10 verses here, but for the sake of time, I'm not. The boss said, start with this too. We'll come back another time for this. All right, sir. Do you understand now why do we use instruments? Now, somebody recently asked me, why sometimes you want everybody to pray at the same time? When everybody pray at the same time, we can't understand. I can't comprehend because everybody's praying at the same time. I said, it's because you are not fully mature yet. Excuse me? You're excused. Why do we pray when we pray? I told you, just pumping up to heaven. Pump up to heaven. So you mean that we can have 100 people pray all in one time? Yes. God can understand. Oh, that's not biblical. Really? Brother preacher, can you put up the book of Acts, the scripture in Acts, chapter 4? Let's have verse 24. And let's give for the King James buffers first. So here we go. So, when they heard that what? Peter came and gave them a report of what the high priests and all the big dogs on the Sanhedrin told them to do. And they defied them. And they continued to preach. When the church heard, they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, not one person only raised their voice. It was not the leader. It was not the leader. It was they. The whole gang gathered together, raised their voice to the Lord. And they said, Lord, you are a God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So what's the big deal? The big deal here is they, not one person, they raised their voice to God. Now, brother preacher, give me here the backslider translation. Here in the report, they, again, lifted up their voice in wonderful harmony in prayer. Strong God, you made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. So, you could do better than this. Yes, I can. Can you give me verse 31, brother preacher? Let's go to the same chapter, verse 31. When God's people lift their voice together in praise, when God's people lift their voice together in prayer, things happen on the atmosphere. Prove it, I will. Read it with me. And when they had... Listen now. I want you to stop with me here. Verse 24 said that they lift their voice to God, right? And they were not singing. They were praying. Did y'all hear that? You can go back. Whatever translation you want to use. Verse 24 says that they, the whole church, lifted up their voice to God together. And he says, and when they had prayed, what happened? Okay, third graders, let's read it together. Y'all brought your eyes today, right?
Yes.
So let's read it. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. When you and I lift our voices together to pray in one time, the atmosphere is shaken around us. And the Holy Ghost will fill the people that are in harmony praying in one accord. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
That will give us boldness to speak the word of God. I love the way that the backslider translation put it. Brother preacher, give me the backslider translation. While they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's words with fearless confidence. So what you're saying, preacher? Well, when the time comes to pray, lift up your voice. Let's pray together. But I don't speak English very well. Doesn't matter. God is a multi-language God. Amen. He's an international God. Yes. Whichever language you speak, He will answer.
Amen.
I wanted to show you a video tonight, but I'm a little hesitant. There's a young boy, 10 years old. He's on fifth grade. And this young boy belongs to a cuckoo church. But this young boy, 10 years old, goes around witnessing to people with his Bible in his hand, and he goes visiting people that's not coming to church. And he gets in there, he greets the person, shakes the person's hand, they sit down, he opens the Bible, read the scripture for the person, pray for the person, and the person comes back to church. Those who are not Christian, he receives Jesus and gets baptized right away, and he's counting the numbers of stone he's going to have in his crown. You know, when the power of God is in our lives, the atmospheres change. Things change. There's no way. So when we get together, lift up your voice and pray. I dare you to try. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked to see that God answers when His people pray. So the reason that we all join together and make that noise is because it's biblical. The reason we have instruments in the church, it is biblical. Most like next week, we're going to start talking about prophecy. We don't have yet prophets in our church as we wish to have. And I thank God for that, because the idea that we have in America today of a prophet is the most anti-biblical idea ever. If I were to say, there's a renowned prophet coming to town and he's going to be at BCFC, and that person is able to prophesy to the woods, the building would be packed up here. Because the prophet hunters, they don't want to do what the word says, but they'll be driving across town to come to hear a prophet to see if they can get a word of prophecy. I got bad news for you. You can come and you can hear the prophet. But if you want to hear a prophetic word, it's supposed to be in your church, not in somebody else's church. I ain't got no prophet in my church. Then change church if you like prophecy. Next week, we're going to talk about this a little bit. But this is why we do what we do. Why do you speak in all that strange language? I don't understand what you're saying. The answer is right here. Why do we have spiritual songs? It's on the book. What is a spiritual song? It's that noise that we make after worship, you know, your tongue is taken away, and you start humming something, a melody comes into your heart, and you go. And when it's all done with decency and order, it's one of the most beautiful things that you can ever have. In 1987, I joined the Assemblies of God in Brazil. Against my will, by the way. I was a chosen, frozen preacher. Got hit hard by the Holy Ghost. Spoke in tongues for 3 days and three nights. And then all the pride, Baptist pride that I had in me was taken away. And then I had to start from the bottom. On the day that I joined them, they had 98,000 members. And one of the things that shocked me was when God's people came together, they sang. Those folks sang from their hearts. But the best time was not the singing, it was the prayer time. You come to a service and you see 15,000 people all together lift up their voices in one accord. Demons would have run away with pain on their ears with so many voices being lifted up in one accord. And many times the place shook around. No big building came down because the Holy Ghost is not a spirit of anarchy. It's a spirit of order. And I'm dreaming with the day when we start praying, all of us will lift up our voice and pray in one accord, and the Holy Spirit will take over. This is our goal. 3 years after I left, 2 years after we left to the mission field, from 97,000 we went to 120,000. That's 23,000 people led to Christ in 2 years. We went to the mission field. 4 years later, when we went back for furlough, they were already in 170,000. Today, they should have 200-something thousand members. Because God's people lift up their voices together to pray in one accord. And you see the place shaking. And then somebody's taken here and they sent 10 miles down the road to start the work. And they do the same thing. They are a replica of what is on the big temple. And then the place shakes over that side. And then they go that side and that side. And then the whole town is filled with the power of God. We speak in tongues. We have spiritual songs. We have instruments. And we all pray in one voice because God commanded us to do that. And when we do this, we attract the Holy Ghost. And He emboldened His people to talk with determination. May the God of Israel grant you and I the joy to continue to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. 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 Brother David.